should all be very grateful that God has seen fit to give us another opportunity to be here tonight and to live on this side of eternity. Very grateful for your choice tonight and being here this evening. It says a lot about you and your love for God. I know there's other places you could be. I know those who've made the decision not to be back with us tonight, and we're saddened by that, but I appreciate the fact that you've chosen to be here this evening, and I'm encouraged by that. I know God is pleased, and you are to be commended. We have visitors among us. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. Always good to have the Halp family with us, and it's others who are visiting. It's good to see you here this evening. We've come to the part of our worship. We're going to continue to worship God by preaching and teaching His Word. God is glorified by the preaching and teaching of His Word. When a man who speaks the utterances of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 11. And I'm going to utilize PowerPoint to my left, your right, to give you book, chapter, and verse for everything that I've got to say here tonight, so you might know from where it is that we're gathering these things. Appreciate the good songs that was led, how well you all participated in that, the good prayer that was led. And once again, very encouraged by just being here this evening, and hope that we can encourage and edify one another by the things we're going to talk about right now in regards to the words of God. I don't know, it's several years ago now that I read a book. I didn't read a book. I perused a book that was entitled The Six Indispensables of Woodworking. Now, obviously, I say a title, you know I didn't read that book. Who reads that book? Who writes that book, really? But I don't really remember what they were, but I remember how vehement the author was about his points. And as I read through that, and I just kind of went through that, the idea of indispensable. The word indispensable means not to be set aside or neglected, absolutely necessary. And what I want you to understand here this night is that I've picked, at least what I think of, are six indispensables of Christianity. There are six things that cannot be neglected. There are six things that cannot be set aside that I've seen people in the religious world today try to set aside. And if we're not careful, we too will neglect. And I want you to understand, we cannot neglect these things because they are absolutely necessary in our life. The first thing I want to talk to you about here this evening is the blood of Jesus. There are many in the world today that are turned off with bloody religion. Others take it as foolishness. That's what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 23. He said, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jew a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. You're kidding me. You're telling me that my Savior is a bloody Savior. He is someone that was nailed to the cross and died. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9 and verse 22, in regards to that idea, that there without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is absolutely indispensable in regards into our lives. In the book of Romans 3 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul there makes a very profound statement when he said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verse 10, he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. And we read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. That when we sin against God, which we all have done, by the way, all of us are sinners. We all have that in common. That we separate ourselves from the Creator. We destroy the relationship with the very one who created us for relationship. That we would be a family. He would be a father. We would be brothers and sisters. In Isaiah 59 verse 1 beginning, I read there that God's hand's not so short that He cannot save, or His ears so dull that He cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sin have caused Him to hide His face from you, so that He will not hear. That's what sin does to you, and you've done it. I've done it, and you've done it. We all have that in common. And so we're faced with this vast chasm between us and our Creator. However, the blood of Jesus Christ purchased us back into that relationship, in whom we have redemption in His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, unto Him who loved us and washed our sins away in His own blood. Peter there in 1 Peter 1 verse 18 said, you see, you've not been redeemed back by corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain lifestyles you learned your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot and without wrinkle. We cannot have anything in regards to relationship with God. I cannot have the remission of my sins. I cannot be purchased from the slavery of sin that I've sold myself into without the blood of the lamb. We sing a song sometimes, there's power in the blood, and that's right, isn't it? I guess you could say it's indispensable. When I think about the blood of Jesus Christ, I see the absolute necessity for it to be shed, for me to have a hope of the forgiveness of my sin. But also, the Word of God. The Word of God is absolutely indispensable, and it is absolutely necessary in my life, and I cannot neglect the reading, the study, and the feeding upon it. The Word of God is not utilized like it once was. I did a lot of gospel meeting work in the past, and a lot of older brethren many times in particular would say, that's the way we used to preach it. That's the way they used to preach it back in the day. And what they were talking about was the utilization of the Word of God. That the Word of God was proclaimed. The Word of God was put front and center in regards to our preaching. I had one brother describe it one time this way. He said, I love chocolate chip cookies with a lot of chocolate chips. And I can appreciate that. So it is with his sermons that he enjoyed. Those who had a lot of scripture. Far too many preachers today get up, tell us a lot of funny stories, a lot of funny anecdotal jokes, spend 45, 50 minutes on one scripture. Listen. I'm not interested in anybody's opinion or anyone's profound education in regards to Scripture. What I'm interested in are the words of God. Give me the Bible, we sometimes sing. Why? Because it is absolutely indispensable in our life. Paul said it this way. I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to provide you an inheritance among those which are sanctified. It edifies us, it strengthens us, it builds us up, and it provides us a way to salvation. James said, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. The word of God are the only words by which you find salvation of your soul. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the guide through this life, and it is absolutely indispensable. You cannot neglect it. It is absolutely necessary in every relationship and every aspect of your life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. And so as I list here this evening the things that I talk about that are indispensable in Christianity, I want you to understand and appreciate that is one of those is the Word of God. But also, faith. Faith is of utmost importance in our life. The Hebrew writer said this, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I mean, how could I tell you that it is absolutely necessary? It cannot be neglected in any more powerful way than what the Word of God just said. Without faith, it is impossible. In some ways, no. It is impossible to please God. For those who had come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Why would I believe that? Because that's what He says in His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is absolutely necessity in my life. Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. He also said to the Corinthians one time, we walk by faith and not by sight. Someone says, seeing is believing. No, sir. Hearing the Word of God is believing. What is it that I hold with all the conviction in my mind? What is it that is in my life that is an anchor? It is a foundation. It is steadfast and sure. It is your faith in the Word of God. And it is of absolute necessity. So is my faith just not what it used to be? Well, listen, I'm sorry to hear that, but what you need to do is you need to feed more upon the Word of God. The Word of God is of absolute necessity. And faith is indispensable in a Christian life. John, as he was writing his gospel, and he was kind of concluding it all up, he said, beginning verse 30 of John chapter 20, he said, many other things did Jesus do that were not written in this book, but these are written. Why, John? Why did you write them? He said, that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and in believing have everlasting life. I want you to appreciate here this evening that faith is of absolute necessity in your life. But also, hope. Hope. The Greek word there is elpis, E-L-P-I-S. And it means a confident expectation. The hope we're talking about there is not like, ooh, I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm not lost. No, it's help us. It is absolute conviction and confidence that I expect to receive exactly what God has promised unto me in hope of everlasting life, which God, who cannot lie, has promised before the world began, Paul said in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope, which is an anchor to the soul, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 6 and verse 19. Without hope, we don't have an anchor to hold us in place when the storms will assail. We talked a little bit about the Sermon on the Mount this morning in Matthew 7 as he concludes that in verse 24 through 27. And he talks about those who hear his word and doeth them. He likened him to the wise man. You remember that? The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The person who does that is the one who hears the words of God and does them not, or does them. And then he's talking about the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand, who hears the words and they don't do them. He says, he is a fool. But what I want you to understand, that these two men have two things in common. You know what those were? The rains came, the floods came, and the winds blew. See? You want an AccuWeather forecast of your life? I mean, it's going to be mostly sunny, but there are some storms that are going to come. Rain is going to come, floods are going to rise, and the wind is going to blow on your soul. And what I want you to understand, that the anchor that holds you down is your hope. Your confident expectation in what? The Word of God. Having faith in that and having hope that a God who cannot lie is faithful. How important is hope? Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 24, for you are saved by hope. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to appreciate here this evening. You can take my life. You take my home. You take my money. Don't take my hope. Each and every one of us here this evening have hope, and it is indispensable in a Christian's life. But also, love. Love is of absolute necessity in Christianity. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1, Paul said this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and I understand all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, if I don't have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not love, it profits me nothing. And what that says to me, ladies and gentlemen, it says to you as well, is that love is an indispensable of Christianity. It is of absolute necessity. Why would that be? Well, because we're to be God-like, right? Ephesians 5 verse 1, imitate God as dear children. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, I read that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That is the aspect of God himself is love. And it is something that we've got to have in our life. Jesus said in John 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, even so you love one another. And by this the world will know that you are my disciples. It is of absolute necessity. If you have love one for another, that's John 13. 34 through 35. The Hebrew writer just began that chapter in Hebrews 13 and verse 1. It just said, let brotherly love continue. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, earnestly love one another. Above all, have fervent love, because love covers a multitude of sins. In the book of 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, now abide faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Indispensable to be a Christian in this Christian walk is that we love God and that we love one another. One more point, and the lesson's yours. Holiness. In the Greek, it is the Greek word hagios. It's where we get the word holy. It's also sanctified, or that is set apart. The Christian, by definition, is one that is called out of this world. that you should show forth the praises of him, Peter said, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been called out of this world to be different. We have been called out of this world to be set apart. Paul said in Romans 12, and verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of Jesus Christ, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. James said, pure religion and undefiled before the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows of their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. A Christian is no longer like this world. He lives in it, but he's not of it. He no longer is enthralled by it. We sing a song sometimes. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the attitude of a Christian. He is holy. He is sanctified. He is set apart. John said, love not the world, neither the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And here's the warning. This world is passing away, but he that doeth the will of the Father will abide forever. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's my lesson that I've entitled Six Indispensables of Christianity. Absolute necessity that cannot be neglected. The blood of Jesus who paid the price for our sin. The Word of God that guides us in the ways of life. Absolute faith in the Word of God. The hope, the confident expectation, the boldness to be able to say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do to me. The love of God and the love of brethren and holiness. These things cannot be neglected. They cannot be set aside. They are of absolute necessity. And if we've learned those lessons here tonight, I think our time will have been spent very profitably. I appreciate your attention tonight. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this evening. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient to the gospel. When Jesus said, go into the world and preach this good news, he that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. If you've not done that, let me just say to you kindly yet firmly, there's no greater need in your life than to be obedient to that tonight. Maybe there's something else that this good book will allow us to do with you, for you, to help you get back on the straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We'll do that for you. We extend the Lord's invitation to you right now, and we're going to sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to him in any way, come forward now as we stand and we sing.
A ruler once came to Jesus by night.